And welcome everybody to Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller here with
Braden Pittman.
And today we are going to go ahead, hop straight into it with a merry trade cut, an exciting start to today.
If you don't know how the game works, Gavin and I say one player that we would like to marry who's doing so good, player that needs to get traded either because their team is disrespecting them or they just seem to not fit, and one player that has just been playing awful and we think should be cut immediately. So, Gavin, can I go first?
You can.
I've been feeling passionately about this young dude since he came into the league, and he has really, over the last couple weeks and just this season in general, been showing out. I am talking, of course, about the mighty De'Aaron Fox, Swipa, as he is called, averaging 22.3 points per game, 6.6 assists, and I've watched my fair share of Kings games over the last couple of years. I've kind of been a closeted Kings fan, and this year he looks comfortable. Like,
yeah,
he really looks like he is enjoying playing basketball out there. Like, he has been really, he looks like a polished NBA point guard. He's been making all the right passes, all the right decisions. I'm pulling up his three-point numbers right now just because he has been shooting pretty good from beyond the arc as well. Yeah, 35%, whereas last year he shot 29%, and on 5 attempts this year, as opposed to previously his high was 3.6 attempts. He has just been on fire on every level. His driving and quickness is as good as ever. He has just been taking the league by storm this year, and I'm impressed every single time that I watch him.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I feel like De'Aaron Fox is coming into a very solid player. I feel like definitely a future all-star in the making with the way he's currently playing.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
When he was coming into the league and I was seeing how fast he was and how explosive he was, I was like, this kid's going to be something that I'm going to want to watch. And so far, he has really started to come into his own now.
Definitely.
In the last couple weeks, especially.
I feel like De'Aaron Fox reminds me a lot of a John Wall type player, like a bit smaller, but that speed, I feel like he can shoot better than John Wall can, but also is acrobatic, you know, finishing, it reminds me a lot of John Wall.
He'll drive into the lane and then do those little dump passes that that John Wall and Russell Westbrook are both really good at. Just the one thing that he and Ja Morant now are both doing that worry me is I fear that they're going to go down the Derrick Rose path maybe with just all these acrobatic plays that they're making. Kind of worries me a little bit. But so far, De'Aaron Fox has not had any major injuries that have kept him out for more than half of a season.
Yeah, and we want to keep it that way too, you know. Yeah, especially.
So fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, players like De'Aaron Fox, that Ja Morant injury that happened was terrifying. Where he was in the wheelchair. Yeah. Luckily, it was nothing terrible, but it could have been. It was either a torn ACL or what he did end up having.
Yeah.
That was scary.
It was not fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And now, moving on to my player. Player I'm loving right now. We talk about him a lot on the show, I feel like, but it's well-deserved because he is the greatest basketball player of all time.
A lot of the time we talk about this guy for negative reasons, or at least I do. I bring him up for negative reasons. But Gavin, I have a feeling I know who you're about to talk about. Because he has been absolutely on fire. Gavin, say his name.
Paul George.
PG-13.
PG-13, a.k.a. you know, the greatest basketball player of all time.
Clippers are 17-6, and I think he's been a big part of that.
Definitely. I feel like Kawhi obviously is doing his thing every single season, but this season, so far, as we're coming up to the All-Star break, Paul George has been balling out. He has been playing out of his mind this year.
Yeah.
He is currently averaging 24 points per game, 5 assists, 6 boards, steal a game. It is having 3 turnovers, but when you have the ball that much in your hands, you're expected to have turnovers just like any player in the league who has the ball in their hands most of the game. He is in the 50-40-90 club, shooting 50% from the field, 40% from 3, 90% from the free throw line. I believe
He's shooting 47.8% from three.
He's almost,
been absolutely on fire.
Almost. I know the 50-50-90 club. I don't even think that's a thing. But if it was, Paul George would be climbing up on it because he is currently shooting basically 48% from the three-point line.
Paul George has the most three-point attempts so far in the NBA with someone that is shooting as well as him. Like, if there's a graph of three-point shooting to three-point attempts, he's in the top right of it because he has been absolutely on fire and shooting just so many threes.
Yeah.
It's been insane.
Yeah, and like I said, he's hitting almost half of the three-pointers he shoots, He's almost shooting double-digit three-pointers a game. Almost. He's shooting around, I think, close to 9 3-pointers a game.
Yeah, like 8.5.
So, I mean, this, I feel like a lot of the times I talk about Paul George, you know, last season in the bubble where he really struggled. But, I mean, I you guys know I'm a huge Paul George fan. I could not see him continuing that struggle that he had in the bubble. I might, you know, I'm biased, so I might make some excuses here, but I feel like the environment of the bubble, not just for Paul George, but makes it harder for players in general.
Yeah.
Which may have been a key reason, as he said, as Paul George said, you know, he's battling depression at that point during the bubble. And he got back with his original trainer that he did during his almost MVP season, top three MVP voting and defensive player of the year voting, second year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I feel like he's really coming into that type of player again, where he, right now he's averaging almost 26 a game on the 50-40-90 club, playing absolutely amazing, also playing great defensively.
Yeah, and I do feel like, going back to the bubble for a second, that depression that he felt, and a lot of other players I'm sure were feeling as well, he was just one of the more outspoken ones about it. It was somewhat have to, like, and his poor play, of course, was, I think, somewhat having to do with the fact that there was no crowd, because I feel like a lot of those bigger star players that are more charismatic on the court, and while Paul George is kind of like a silent but deadly type of guy, or at least he was known as that for a while before he joined the Clippers, but they do feed off the crowd. Like, you look at those huge dunks that Paul George does, he always looks towards the crowd and stuff immediately afterwards, and Russell Westbrook does the same thing, and all these, and I feel like a lot of the players that did go in and kind of struggle a little bit are players that really feed off the crowd a lot. And I mean, that's why you saw, like, for instance, Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't feed off anything. He's just a robot. Bubble doesn't affect him at all. Yeah. And while I don't think that there are fans in the crowd at Clippers games yet, he's back in his arena, you know? Like, he's back home. He's in L.A., for instance.
Yeah.
That's where he was born and raised, was in the L.A. area. And, like, he's just back in an actual
family.
Yeah, back in an actual stadium as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, instead, and he's seeing his family again. Yeah, like you just said, like, they're not having to be quarantined all by themselves, although I'm sure that the players are being plenty safe, except for James Harden, but they're being more than safe enough. Paul George especially, I mean, like, he's a family man, you know? And mm-hmm. I feel like he's definitely not trying to put any of his family at risk. Yeah, I just, it feels good seeing Paul George back out there, and I still stand by the comments that I made during the bubble, that he just really was not firing on all cylinders, and I called him a bum a few times. And during the bubble, he was. And I think you'd be a fool to not admit that. But I will say he really has been turning it up.
Yeah. Now, if you want to go on with a player that you think, you know, either a player that should be cut that you don't like they're doing, or a player that you think should be traded, not, you know, maybe realistically traded. But
I'm gonna go with a cut real quick, or with a trade real quick, excuse me. There have been the rumors about Andre Drummond in Cleveland, and I think that there's another Cleveland player that just, they've formed this real young, and again, we've brought this dude up, it was more often last season, and I believe he's injured right now, so this isn't exactly realistic, but Kevin Love doesn't fit the timeline. He's getting up there in age. There have been rumors of him going to Portland for like three seasons now. He just needs out. Kevin Love is in his twilight years. He has a little bit of good basketball left in him that is going to need to be squeezed out by the right contending team. Where should he go? I'm not entirely sure. Maybe he can get dealt to Philadelphia and add that perimeter shooting coming from the power forward position. Maybe Portland, like I just mentioned a second ago. Maybe the Clippers, if they have room for him. Or the Nuggets. They could use an extra guy coming off of their bench, maybe. There are just a few teams that I feel like are, while they're contending, they're not contending, if that makes sense. Like the Nuggets, 76ers, teams like that, where it's like, they're the best teams, and like the Jazz, I'll say as well, even though they're, again, the number one seed, they just came off of like an 11-game winning streak before they finally lost one. They are like really good teams, But you put that team against LeBron James, you're not expecting LeBron to go down. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I would say that this Celtics team is just barely on the cusp of being, like, a real contender. Like, they're right on the line between are they real or are they not. But, yeah, I just... Kevin Love could go to any one of those teams, and I feel like he could contribute positively.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I totally agree with what you say about, you know, some teams are contending but aren't contending.
Yeah.
Just like how you kind of described it. Yeah, there are teams that in the playoffs, or that in the regular season, should I say, are going to do absolutely amazing. But then you put them up against other really good teams, you know, in that playoff environment, they may not go that far.
For instance, I mean, I'll just say, like, Kawhi and Paul George choked last year, but you're putting people against Kawhi and Paul George. Like, when you see the names Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, you're like, that's a good two-piece. But you put those names next to Kawhi and Paul George, and while the surrounding cast around the Jazz might be better, it's going to come down to that two-on-two matchup of Kawhi and Paul George versus Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Yeah. And I think you know who's winning that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on that statement, and maybe Kevin Love, you know, have being traded to possible trade destinations.
Yeah, and Kevin Love will either be that third guy where you say, well, they have Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Kevin Love, or it'll be we have Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and Kevin Love is coming in at power forward and contributing 15 points on nice three-point shooting for us, or something like that.
Definitely. And now a player that I think, you know, just doesn't fit currently with the team he is playing with would have to be Kemba Walker for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that right now, you know, I feel like Kemba Walker back in Charlotte proved that he was a good point guard. I feel like we all saw Kemba Walker had a nice crossover, good dribbling, good shot, create his own shot. But I just don't see that on the Celtics. And, you know, maybe it's injuries. Or maybe it's just him not fitting with the way Boston plays. Being with, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Daniel Theis, maybe they just don't play too great together with Kemba Walker on the floor. But if you've watched Celtics games, I mean, Kemba Walker definitely just, he hasn't looked like the Kemba Walker that I feel like I'm used to seeing all those years in Charlotte. I feel like, yeah, he can still create a shot if you watch him. He still has nice dribbling, but I feel like his shot is not going in at the rate it was. I feel like his shot has just decreased. I don't know what it's been. His form looks the same. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know what it is, because his form looks exactly the same, in my opinion. His dribbling is good still. His shots just aren't going in. And I feel like that's what it is. I shouldn't say turnovers. I don't know Kemba Walker's saying how many turnovers he averages a game or anything like that. I don't know.
I understand what you mean. He just hasn't, like, I don't know if it's because he's just, like, so much older than everybody else that he maybe doesn't fit.
It's like, he is older compared to the other players, but at the end of the day, he's only 30.
Let's think about this for a second, just from a chemistry standpoint, and while I'm sure that a lot of these players are used to playing with players significantly older than them, I do wonder, and this is just speculation now on my part, and a little bit of, like, basketball philosophy, but I wonder how much of an impact it does have on you when you have an entire team, and that Celtics team is one of the youngest in the league. Like, their oldest player besides Kimba is like 27 years old. Mm-hmm. To have all those players, and then to have like 32-year-old Kemba Walker there, if that's kind of weird, like, everybody else are like either new dads or just like young 20 somethings, and then you have like this old 32-year-old, like, not to say 32 is old, but like by basketball terms, an old man there as well. If that's like weird at all, you know?
I
don't know.
I feel like, I mean, if we go through his stats, Kemba had a stretch where he averaged 19 19 in two games in a row, then 21 against Cleveland, 14, 19. But then he has like 3 0-point games in which he didn't play from injuries. You know, he had that one injury or just breaks. But he's only averaging, he's getting around 26 minutes a game. And he's only averaging 15 points a game. From a scoring guard, not really what you want to see.
Yeah.
He's only shooting 36% from the field, which is very low. I mean, I'm not talking about 3-point percentage, just from the field. which I feel like 40% is the average, I feel like, or 40% is good. He's shooting 36%, very low. I mean, I don't know if you watched that Celtics-Lakers game where Kemba did play really good defense, and he got the steal, gave it to Jaylen Brown, I think it was Jaylen Brown, who gave it back to Kemba, and Kemba did a little step back just inside the left wing to the left of the free throw line, and he did a step back, and he got the space for the shot. Just a nice kind of wide open mid-range, and the ball just rimmed in and out. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with Kemba. Like, his shot just, I feel like Charlotte Kemba would have buried that shot easily.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what it is, because it looked like, you know, his form, everything, that step back was great. He got the space, he created the shot he needed to shoot for that game winner, but ultimately could not convert and get the game winner.
Yeah, and I will say, he's played half of the half of Boston's game so far, which isn't a lot. But that's a double-digit game sample size where we're only getting 36% from the field. We're getting 30% from three. He's hitting his free throws in an all right clip, 88%. But then that, 4.3 assists from a dude that averages 5 or 6 for his career isn't good. You know, you definitely, especially as he's getting older, want him to be trying to fill more of a playmaking role.
Yeah, and I don't see Kemba as that.
And maybe this is the type of dude that maybe could help one of those contenders that, instead of needing a playmaker, what they need is that extra little boost of scoring. For instance, I'll say it again, maybe the Jazz or the Nuggets. Like, people who have all those defensive pieces around, they just need a little extra scoring, and they can instead trust Kemba to be that scorer. And again, that's a little bit of a gamble, because he's not scoring efficiently right now. But again, it's a small sample size. Maybe he can come back and really start to turn up his scoring.
I think, you know, maybe a team like, maybe in the Eastern Conference, I could say a team like maybe the Heat. I feel like, you know, the Heat have a lot of young, I feel like they have a lot of young players like the Celtics.
I feel like he'd fit really nice next to Jimmy Butler, actually.
Like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Herro. You have Jimmy Butler, it's a Bam Adebayo. It's a really good defensive team. And then maybe, they can score the ball as well, but maybe you throw Kemba in there at the point guard role, and he fits better with the Heat than he does with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Easier to score for him.
Yeah. The Heat are the 13th seed. Just so everybody knows real quick, the Heat are the 13th seed in the Eastern Conference. In the East, the Eastern Conference, the worst conference in basketball, they're the 13th seed, which is really bad, guys. The Heat are really bad. The Heat are bad this year. The Heat are bad. And I like that. That makes me happy that the Heat aren't playing good.
That's who I would trade, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I can totally see that Kemba Walker just really... Also, he doesn't really fit the timeline that well. That's another... Like, he just having... then 6 foot point guards that are going into their 30s, notoriously, that's when they start to decline. He just doesn't fit the timeline. Maybe they do him a favor and dish him off to a team that could use a... What was I saying? Oh, to a team that's about to win a ring. Maybe they give him to the Lakers or something for something cheap, just so that he can go off and win his own ring or something like that. Because Kemba deserves it, man. Kemba has put in a lot of quality years for the Charlotte Hornets, who are just not a good team.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Maybe you should have stayed in Charlotte. I mean, I don't know. That definitely would have changed a lot, because, you know, LaMelo currently being the guard who just started. Yeah. I don't know if they would have drafted LaMelo. Maybe they would have to fill that shooting guard role because he's a bit taller.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows how that would have changed the NBA today if Kemba would have stayed in Charlotte?
I will say, I think they probably would have still gotten LaMelo just because, and that's assuming that they lost the same amount of games last year.
Yeah.
But I would assume that they would still get LaMelo just because he was the best player available.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe he should have stayed in Charlotte. Maybe it was, like, a better fit for him overall.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's just me.
Who's been bad?
Who has just not been performing this year?
Who stinks?
I don't know. Let me
PU, go ahead. Who's been playing bad?
Someone that just
I'm
has
actually,
been underperforming.
I have a suspicion about this, and I might be wrong, and if I am, then I won't say the player that I'm thinking of. But I'm checking his three-point shooting right now.
I have a player. I will go ahead. I'm going to say it. I don't like this player. I think he's overrated.
Oh, let me try to guess who you're talking about. Keep going. Give me a little bit more.
All right. So he's a guard.
Okay. East or west?
In the east.
In the east. A bit
guard overrated.
It's overrated.
I just don't like him.
Is it Ben Simmons?
It's not Ben Simmons.
Oh, who is it?
It's Russell Westbrook.
Ooh.
It may be a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take or not, because I feel like it's a 50-50. But I genuinely feel like Russell Westbrook is not that good anymore. I feel like a lot of the times when we speak about Russell Westbrook, and this is like, no disrespect to Russell Westbrook. I'm not saying he's a terrible point guard or anything. I'm saying this with all respect. I do not think that Russell Westbrook, or not, I'm saying when we do talk about Russell Westbrook, I feel like it's more of that 2016-2017 Westbrook.
Right.
You know, when he won the MVP in the 2 years where he averaged a triple-double, played out of his mind, 50-point triple-doubles, and that Westbrook was very good, with Paul George. But I feel like currently, right now, with the Wizards, I don't see him as a good fit.
I do think that is whenever you talk about how good Russell Westbrook is, that is specifically the era of Russell Westbrook that you're referencing 90% of the time as you're talking about. But the MVP season and the two seasons after that where he averaged the triple-double and he hit the game winners and he willed that awful team to the playoffs. And
yeah.
But that doesn't happen anymore,
like it's
huh?
It's not, I don't know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say this, because I'm not saying, if it was Russell Westbrook or Kemba Walker, I would take Russell Westbrook probably.
He went from being top three to top five. I can just go off the top of my head and start naming point guards better than him. Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving. And then there's some younger ones that I would take over him too. Like I said before, De'Aaron Fox, John Morant. Like these players that are doing the same thing Russell Westbrook does, but they're younger and healthier. And I mean, of course, if you have the option to take Russell Westbrook, you don't have the option to take John Morant. John Morant isn't getting traded from the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell Westbrook's on the trade block. Why not take a risk? Well, why not take the risk? This risk is because John Wall's been outperforming him. And you did a one-for-one Russell Westbrook for John Wall. And it's really not looking too good right now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Russell Westbrook just came off of an amazing game against the Brooklyn Nets, where I believe he dropped 42.
Yeah.
Amazing game from Russell Westbrook. Winner,
yeah. Mostly off of a fluke play, but he still hit
shot. Nonetheless, he still hit the shot. You know, he still clutched up and hit the shot, the shot right before that. Bradley Beal had at the top of the key, which was an amazing shot. That shot was amazing. Which led to, the turnover giving Westbrook a wide open left wing three.
I also do want to say, I respect the heck out of Russell Westbrook. I love the way that he plays. I love the aggression he brings. I love that he's a great teammate. He's never, he is, out of all the players from OKC that have came through there in the last couple of years, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, he's the only one that I haven't seen be accused of being a bad teammate. And Chris Paul. He's the only person that I haven't seen be accused of being a bad teammate, because Russell Westbrook, I just feel like, is a super nice guy. And I feel like you can tell that about him, that he's just a nice dude.
Yeah, he's super competitive. And
Seem like the dude that I'd want on my team, But it's very obvious that he has taken a step back and that he might not be what's best for your team anymore, and that he might be kind of struggling to find his role on this Wizards team.
Let me pull up Russell Westbrook's stats. Maybe I'm just,
he hasn't been passing the eye test.
Yeah, maybe I'm just missing something, but I'm going to pull up his stats.
I will tell you, just look at his effective field goal percentage for me real quick and read me that. That way I can scoff in disgust, because I know it's probably not good.
Shooting 40% from the field.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's still better than Kemba Walker. I mean, maybe you could flip Kemba Walker in the cut and put Russell Westbrook in the trade if you wanted to, from what I just said.
Yeah.
But
I do still think that Russell Westbrook has a lot in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, he I don't know. It's just, you go through, he's averaging 34 minutes a game. So he's playing around 34 minutes a game. He's averaging just 20 points a game. Just perfectly, almost 20 points a game. 41% from the field. 9 boards, 9 assists. So he's not averaging a triple-double anymore, which, I've obviously...
9 boards, 9 assists is crazy.
Yeah, that's still really good. For a guard, especially.
Yeah, if you're just now tuning in, this is the Pick and Slip Podcast. I'm Braden Pittman here with Gavin Miller, and we are playing our game Marry, Trade, Cut. Right now we're on the cut section, talking about players that we just think haven't been playing great this season. Continue.
Yep. I mean, he's played 12 games this year. I don't know. If you look at his old numbers, 27, 25, 31, 28, and now
when you look at him putting his head down and running down the court, he just doesn't look the same anymore. His vertical hasn't been as good. It's tough to watch because I love him so much.
3 points under what he's averaged throughout his entire career.
Yeah, and I mean, you expect it. Again, he's a guard that is over 30 now, and you're expecting that recession, but just the energy he brought, you never thought it would go down, and then now his play's starting to decline, and now it's just that energy, and I've always been able to tell that Russell Westbrook, when he goes out, is going to go out sad.
And I mean, here's another thing. He's averaging 9 boards a game, okay? 9 boards a game. He's averaging 5 turnovers a game. And I mean, like, I know I said earlier, you know, when you had the ball in your hands a lot, that's how it is. But LeBron does not
have to be how it is.
Like, you know, like, Paul George averages 3. Kawhi does not average 5. Anthony Davis is not going to average 5 turnovers. Yeah. And you have Bradley Beal on the team, which I hate to say, and most likely has the ball in his hands more than Russell Westbrook does.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Bradley Beal does not average 5 turnovers a game.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and do mine now. A guy who has been playing pretty good, but I just will say that there are a few flaws to his game, and then also his team's record just make me question how he's been playing overall. That is Kristaps Porzingis, who is averaging 19.1 points, which is exactly in the middle for his career. 45% from the field, which isn't great. Only 29% from 3, which is his career low so far on second most attempts per game, 3-point attempts per game. He's shooting fine from the free throw line, just above his career average. His rebounding has been just about what his career average is. Here's the thing that troubles me and has troubled me for a few years. Kristaps Porzingis is a European player, and European players are known for their abilities to really have the fundamentals of basketball down.
Mm.
He averages 1 assist for his career. 1 assist for his career. I want to say that one more time. Kristaps Porzingis averages 1 assist for his career. That is nothing. Like, and I make outrageous claims like this all the time, and I would love for someone to shut me up about it. But I fully guarantee that I could average an assist and a half in the NBA.
Just a little bit more?
It's not that. Like, all you have to do is just find somebody in the post and pass it to them. And then just hope they score. Do that twice a game.
Like, if you just have someone like, hey, I'm getting assist. I'm going to give it to you. Just shoot the ball right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it just doesn't, like, less than a steal, a block and a half, which is his career low. He just, for the second time ever, he has a negative box plus minus. He just hasn't been playing like he usually does. And I saw this insane statistic. For every 22 points that Kristaps Porzingis scores, he gets 1 assist, which is the highest in the league, which means that he has the worst point-to-assist ratio in the league, or best, depending on what you consider to be good. But I consider it to be a bad thing to score that many points without an assist. And it just, I don't know. I think that in that Dallas Mavericks offense that has constantly over the years prided itself on not only good big man play, but then also pretty unselfishness from all of the team members, Kristaps Porzingis not being able to pass and then also barely being able to score nowadays just does not bode well for the team's future if they're going to keep him as their second best player.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Kristaps, I mean, I don't watch too many Mavs games, so.
I love Kristaps Porzingis, though. I loved him on the Knicks. I loved him last season. He just has not been playing good this year. And that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that will conclude our merry trade cut, you know, for all 3 players that we chose for each of us. That is our thoughts on those players and why this, you know, we love what they're doing, why we think they should be traded, maybe not actually traded, but, you know.
Yeah.
Or cut, maybe not literally cut from the team, but yeah, people just aren't playing good.
I have a question.
What is it?
Why do the Pacers make me so sad?
I don't know. What do they do?
They got beat by 20 last night by the Milwaukee Bucks. I know it's Milwaukee, but then the like two nights before that, they blew a 20-point lead to Philadelphia. They lost a 3-point game to Charlotte. They lost to Toronto, of all teams, by 5 a couple nights before that. It's been rough. They lost by 33 to the Clippers like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's just hasn't been feeling great to be a Pacers fan as of late, Gavin. What have you seen from the Pacers so far that just makes them make me so sad? Why are they 12-10 when they started off like 9-1?
Well, I feel like one thing with the Pacers is that, you know, well, they made that trade for Caris LeVert. Probably threw off the chemistry a little bit. You know, even though I feel like Caris LeVert and Victor Oladipo, you know, maybe not. You watch them stats-wise.
That is
similar
true.
Stats.
And let's think about this. You did he did come in and did the same stats, they traded pretty much. They just gave an all-star away for nothing at this point because, like, Caris LeVert hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
So we shipped away one of our 5 starters and then so far have nothing to show for it. So, yeah, I would say that does have an impact.
Probably a pretty big impact on the team. I feel like that trade for Caris LeVert, you know, if you just look at the stats, like the box, you know, the box stats and all that, very similar players. I feel like if you actually watch the game, you'll see that Victor Oladipo is a lot better defender. His footwork is a lot better. His ability to stay in front of his defender and follow him is a bit better than Caris LeVert's. I would say that. I also think that the Pacers... I don't think Sabonis is going to do it. I mean, I feel like Sabonis is a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You can keep him, but I think you need another star next to him.
Sabonis, we'll never win a ring with Sabonis being the best player.
I think...
You cannot win a ring with a power forward like that being your best player.
I think you need another star, and by, like, another star, if you bring in, like... I know Bradley Beal say didn't want to be traded, and I feel like we include Bradley Beal and throw his name everywhere in the NBA. But if you got a team like Bradley Beal, or a player like Bradley Beal, that would be really really good for your team. Like, I know you're getting Caris LeVert, but Caris LeVert is not, he's never even made an All-Star game. I mean, he's not a bad player.
Well, neither is Bradley Beal.
Yeah, but I mean.
But we know that
you know, if you look at Bradley Beal and Caris LeVert, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said about Caris LeVert, it's like, I don't know. He's a good player, but he's not going to win your ring. Neither is Sabonis. You need a good star with a ring mentality. Like a mentality that I want to win a ring, and he's capable of doing that when you put him with a player like Sabonis and a roster built like the Pacers.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if we think about, we talk about, like, that teams don't need stars and blah, 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 but teams need stars because the one team that everybody tries to mention that didn't have a star is, Gavin, I'm sure you can tell who I'm about to say.
The team
that won a ring without stars. It's the team that everybody uses. The 2000 and what was it? 3 Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
That's the classic example of, like, they didn't have any stars, but they had 3 all-stars on that team. So, like, they didn't have LeBron James, but.
And also, like, this Pacers team is not built like the Pistons team. You know what I mean? Like, that Pistons team, as you said, had 3 all-stars. The Pacers do not have 3 all-stars. They have good bench players and good depth. They do not have 3-4 all-stars, which would be the equivalent to one superstar.
Half of our depth is injured.
Yeah, like, I feel like you can have 3 all-stars, 1 star. You're going to get the same productivity, I feel like. Because if you have 1 insanely good player and 3 good players, you know what I mean? If you have 3 all-stars and you have LeBron on a team, those 3 all-stars, LeBron. It's going to, you know what I mean? Even though it's 3 players to 1. But I feel like the Pacers aren't really built like that. I feel like their bench is really good. They have depth. The chemistry is good. But right now, they just kind of gave Victor Oladipo away, and we're still waiting for Caris LeVert to come back. You know, thankfully, he figured out he had that during the trade. Thankful for that. You never want to see that from a player.
Caris, we know you're listening. Feel free to come on the pod whenever you want. You can go ahead and contact our staff here at Ben Davis and just let them know that you want to come on, and we'll definitely have you on sometime.
Caris,
kind of speak your mind.
Caris LeVert always listens.
Yeah, Caris, fan of the show.
but I don't know. I feel like the Pacers need another star.
Find us on Twitter at WBDGNDCaris. Let us know how you're feeling, how the surgery went. We'd love to talk to you for a little bit. Get you in the studio, maybe.
Also, you know, I mean, we all know Paul George listens to
PG,
every single show, too.
PG, just let us know whenever you want to come back on. Bang. We know. We forgot to record that one time that you did come on, which really, that was unfortunate. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we need PG on the show once. One time. Eventually, we'll do this forever until we get PG on the show, and then we'll keep doing it.
It's like those Instagram accounts that are like, we're going to post every day.
Fan pages.
Yeah, until whatever gets a ring. We're going to be making this show every week until Paul George comes on.
I will DM Paul George every single day until he just reads it one day.
That's how I got my interview with Sammy Classic Sonic Fan, as I just bothered him on Instagram until he talked to me.
We're gonna make that like our lifelong goal.
It's for you guys.
Paul George on the show.
Yeah, Paul George never does interviews.
But he
will for us as biggest fans.
Yep, I have.
Me and his biggest fan.
Yeah, Braden will be here, and then I'm the biggest Paul George fan of all time.
I sit behind the chair I'll sit behind the board while you talk to him.
Yeah, Braden, you won't hear Braden at all. It'll just be me interviewing Paul George and telling Paul George how good he is at basketball.
Man, now that's an idea.
But going back to the Pacers, I just feel like they need another superstar. We say that all the time. Anytime we talk about the Pacers, that's what we say.
Yeah. Pretty much. Which, I mean, like, Bradley Beal would fit so nice.
That's right, yeah. Definitely.
Bradley Beal sure would look nice in a Pacers
uniform. Look at a player like Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard on the Pacers. Oh, my Lord.
So many players, I feel like, want this Pacers roster behind them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we really do have, like, same thing with this, like, the Colts are currently looking for a quarterback because the Colts have such a good team right now.
Yeah.
The one thing they don't have is that one player that's going to consistently give you 30 when you need it. Because, like, even players that average 25, they'll give you 30 when you need the 30 piece in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's all I have to say about the Pacers. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing really too much for that. We'll come back, you know. Maybe if the Pacers ever actually get another star player, and they haven't had one since, I feel like, Paul George.
Yeah. I mean, Victor Oladipo maybe was for a season.
And once again, that's a prime example. The last time the Pacers had a legitimate star on the team, maybe at this point Paul George is maybe not a star. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was known in the league. He was good. He was an all-star, very good player. So I'm just going to say a star. Maybe not a superstar, but Paul George was a star. And the last time I remember the Pacers getting out of the first round of the playoffs was when Paul George was there.
Yeah.
Or not, because, like, if I'm not mistaken, the Pacers have got swept, said this last year, last 3 out of 4 years, they got swept. So, I mean, the last time I remember, you know, when Paul George was there, and it was Roy Hibbert, George Hill, David West, those players with Paul George, C.J. Watson, they made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals like 2 or 3 times against that Miami team. And although they could never get over that hump and make it to the finals, they were close. And now ever since, they haven't had like that big star. Now they have Sabonis. But it's not going... I feel like Sabonis is an all-star, not a star.
Yeah.
And I feel like if, you know, since they've kind of shied away from getting a star since Paul George, they're now seeing what it's like not having that star anymore, just having an all-star and a very good team. Yes, you're going to make it to the playoffs every single year, but you're not going to get anywhere in the playoffs. You're not going to get to the NBA Finals. You're not going to win a ring off this.
Okay, so I have a little bit of troubling information to deliver about the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert has not tweeted since October of 2020. That's pretty normal. He's not super vocal or anything. His bio still says Brooklyn Nets in it. Okay? Which, again, like, he could have... And his location is still tagged as Brooklyn, New York. Which, again, he could have just not been on Instagram for a while. But you go to his likes. He has liked posts from 2 days ago, 4 days ago, 2 weeks ago. He's been on Twitter since the trade. And he still has Brooklyn Nets. He still hasn't tweeted about Indiana. So that's concerning. Karius, if you want to talk about these allegations I just made, then, which it is true, you can go on his Twitter and check, but Karis LeVert doesn't like Indiana? Question mark? Let's put a crazy thumbnail on this.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. But Karis, if you want to confirm the rumors I just threw out there, come on the pod.
Braden making rumors again. About NBA players.
Yeah, you know me.
But yeah, that's really all I have to say about this segment about the Pacers and just what they're doing this season, why they've been struggling as of late.
Yeah, it's been rough to be a Pacers fan. Oh, breaking news. Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic named Players of the Month for January.
Yeah.
That just got announced. I don't really have anything to say about that. They certainly did get announced as Player of the Month.
I mean, I don't think we need to talk too much about what Joel Embiid is doing in the NBA and what Nikola Jokic is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an NBA fan, you probably know
you've been following
Jokic and Embiid and what they're doing in the league.
Just a little bit more news. Kevon Looney is out for 2 weeks with an ankle injury. Bill Russell got his COVID-19 vaccine. Zero players tested positive in the last round of COVID-19 testing. Bradley Beal scored 17 straight 25-plus point games. Just, I think all those things are cool. Shout out to Bill Russell for still being alive.
What?
He's been alive for like 100 years.
Bill Russell is...
He's so old. Remember that quote from the Hall of Fame ceremony when he was standing up there with all those sinners?
I remember what he said.
Bill Russell is a trip. We love him.
Go Bill Russell.
Yeah. Bill Russell, feel free to come on the pod.
I also want to say, one more thing I want to go over is right now, the Western Conference. It looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and read the top 10 seeds because they all have positive records, and I'll even go as far as 11. But so I'll just say Minnesota, New York, Dallas, OKC all have negative records right now. OKC's finally losing games. It seems like it took them forever to lose. Wait.
To New York.
What team? Yeah. OKC. OKC is finally losing games. What team is Chris Paul on right now? He's on the Suns. Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, where did he go?
Yeah.
And the Suns are the sixth seed right now. Utah's at the one. Los Angeles Clippers are the two seed. Lakers are the three seed. Nuggets are the four. Memphis is the five, which is shocking. Phoenix is six. Portland is seven. Spurs are at eight. And then Golden State has an 11-10 record. They're the nine seed. Houston is 10-10. They're the 10 seed. And Sacramento is 10-11, and they are the 11 seed. You can expect them, I feel like, to be in the playoffs at some point and then pushed back out. They have just been, they've been a kind of streaky team, and it's a very young team as well.
But, yeah. I mean, the Western Conference right now,
it's fun.
It looks super competitive.
And you can imagine that. There's a good chance that Dallas gets back up from their 9-13 record right now and starts also contending for a playoff spot. But, like, I would say the only four teams right now that are locked for the playoffs are Utah, Clippers, Lakers, and Nuggets, assuming that there aren't, like, any huge injuries or any changes to their team that go really bad for them. But I think that Memphis, Phoenix, Portland, Spurs... or San Antonio, Golden State, Houston, and Sacramento, and also Dallas are all competing for that 5-8 seed, and any of them could get it.
Dallas has just been so surprising to me.
Yeah. I was expecting not only a Luka MVP season, which has not been happening. It seems like he's kind of plateaued since last season. But also, I was just expecting them to be really good.
Yeah, I was too. Speaking of Luka, that kind of transitions us into something else. We, at the very beginning of the year, did kind of our randomized award guessing game.
It was just kind of we threw it out there at the end of a show because the season was about to start.
Just threw names into...
I forget what mine even were. We're going to go back and look at that podcast after this, too.
Yeah, but I want to kind of, now that we're in the All-Star break, I want to see, you said Giannis, I said Luka.
Okay, but we're near the All-Star break.
Now we're, you know, right around the corner from the All-Star break, coming right up to it. I kind of want to go ahead and redo it, kind of to an extent, now that we have a feel of what the NBA is going like.
Yeah, I like the idea of us getting like four chances to say who we think MVP is, and we're both still going to end up being wrong.
We'll do it this way, and then we'll just be done. Like, this will be final, because we're about 20 games in now, which is not a lot of games at all. We've still captured a lot of NBA vibe of the season. Yeah, we've kind of figured out what the season's going to be like, and so now, kind of want to do our official Gavin and Braden award, you know, guessing
the
what players
official.
Are going to get the awards. Yeah, that first one didn't count. So basically, we're doing this one. That's how we're going to say it.
All right.
So we have a feel now.
This is going to be unpopular for MVP, because I know Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic have been the top two, but I have another European, and it's still Giannis. I still have Giannis winning MVP. Giannis dropped the triple-double last night. I think that people are going to get voter fatigue, I feel like, and not want to vote for Giannis again, but I think towards the end of the season, I think Joel can't sustain this. I think Jokic can't sustain this, but Giannis is doing the same thing he does every year. But this time, he has an even better team behind him. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Also, just anyone but Ben Simmons, really.
For any
award. As long as Ben Simmons doesn't win anything, I'm happy.
Okay. You just want... you still have Giannis for MVP? MVP,
yeah, though. Still Giannis for MVP.
All right.
I can never root against my boy.
All right. I am going to go... Right now, you know, a lot of people say LeBron. If you look at LeBron's numbers, LeBron hasn't won the MVP since 2013, by the way.
Oh, wow. 8 years.
But...
he probably deserved, like, 7 of those, for being honest.
But a lot of people are saying LeBron, but LeBron's averaging almost the same numbers he did last season, and he didn't win MVP last season, so I don't see why in the world he would win it this year. Maybe he does. I don't know why he would. But right now, I'm going to say it. MVPG.
Boo.
Is he going to win it? Probably not. But I'm going to say it because I know I've heard people say Kawhi. I've heard people say Nikola Jokic. I've heard a few people say Embiid and LeBron. Right now, I think Paul George is playing better than Kawhi Leonard. So if Kawhi Leonard is in the MVP race, I know it's because Kawhi Leonard, you know, offensively the stats, Paul George is better. Defensively, Kawhi is amazing. He's playing defensive player of the year type defense right now. But Paul George is also playing absurd defense, which I don't, you know, even though the box score may not look at it and say, you see, oh, Paul George isn't even averaging a block or a steal. Paul George's plus minus is nice. Also, going with the fact that if you watch the games, the defensive side of the game is not always shown in the box score. You can play really good defense.
It's never shown in the box
score. And you won't see it in the box score.
Yeah.
But I think, what I do think is that if Kawhi Leonard is being mentioned in the MVP race, I don't see why Paul George wouldn't be. Like, I genuinely do not see why Paul George, he's in the 50-40-90 club right now. He's shooting 47.8% from the three-point line. Just last night, he dropped 36 points against the Cavs, shot 8-for-9 from the three-point line. After, I don't know if you guys saw what Jared Dudley said, talking about, you know, kind of dissing Paul George in his new book. I don't see why he wouldn't even be considered.
Also, maybe Steph MVP.
KD's also mentioned.
Yeah, there's a lot. But I'm still going Giannis. I'm proud of my son.
I'm going with Paul George because he's putting up very similar numbers also to the season that he averaged, that he was top three in MVP voting.
Should we just call this the Paul George fan pod?
We might as well.
All right, let's go Defensive Player of the Year. I think let's both say our answers on three because I think we have the same one. 1, 2, 3. Miles Turner. What?
Whoa! You have
Miles Turner, Mr. 4 blocks a game.
He's averaging 4 blocks a game right now. Let's go all the way to the end of the season. Is Miles Turner still going to be averaging 4 blocks a game?
Yes.
You think
20
he is?
Games in, he still is.
I don't have him averaging that many blocks a game for the rest of the season. Also, just not enough blocks, pure defense. Anthony Davis, I could say Rudy Gobert, but I do not like that guy.
Every
so
year,
I will never mention him for any award.
Every year that every game that Miles Turner misses, the Pacers play awful defense. Every time that he plays, we play great defense. Except last night. Ignore last night. But he's so good at defense. And Miles Turner, if he doesn't win MVP, or Defensive Player of the Year, excuse me, then the NBA's rigged.
I can go with Miles Turner, I guess. But I don't see him, like, really averaging. If he averages 4 blocks a game for the entire season, for sure, DPOY. Yeah,
but
I
just don't see him being able to sustain it.
I don't see really anyone being able to sustain 4 blocks for the entire year. No one in the league.
Miles Turner's just built different. He's just a different breed. He's insane.
I mean, right now, he's second.
Are you the different animal? Are Giannis, you a different animal and the same beast?
Giannis is in front of him. Giannis Ben Simmons is third.
Ben Simmons is not good at anything.
Ben Simmons is third. Joel Embiid is fourth. Of course, we're only 20 games in the season, but
Ben Simmons, you are not allowed on the pod.
I think if we keep going right now, Anthony Davis will, you know, very consistent player.
Sixth man of the year. Who do you have?
Sixth man of the year?
Yes.
This is kind of tough. Sixth man of the year? I mean, right now, Joe Ingles is doing really well. I don't know if you've seen Joe Ingles is doing really well.
I almost, and again, this might be another unpopular opinion, Jeremy Lamb's up there for me. There's been a couple good ones. Huh. Let me keep thinking about that one.
Sixth man is kind of tricky. There's a lot of.
You said Lou Williams again at the beginning of this year, but she has not been playing great.
Chris Boucher.
Chris Boucher. That's my sixth man.
Like, Chris Boucher has been playing.
I forgot
really
about
good.
Him. He's been playing great. Chris Boucher also. I'll just say he's. I was already planning on saying him for my most improved. Chris Boucher's been very improved this
right
season.
Now, he's averaging 13 a game on 52% shooting, 6 boards, and assist. But it's just a player who comes off the bench. That's good stats for someone who comes off the bench. Very similar stats to Kemba Walker. Who's you? You have Chris Boucher also?
Yeah.
All right.
And I also have him as my most improved.
My most improved goes out to a man who changed his hairstyle. And no, it's not Paul George. I know he changed his hairstyle, but it's not Paul George.
Who's your most improved? Now I'm wondering, because I don't know what this one is.
You know, I mean, I think he a couple years ago, he had different hair.
Kobe White?
No.
De'Aaron Fox?
No. A couple years ago, you know, he had a lot of hair. He kind of cut a lot of his hair off.
Steven Adams?
No. You know, he's a guard. He's pretty good at basketball.
What team's he on?
Plays in the Eastern Conference.
Huh.
He's got a nice beard.
A nice beard and no hair. James Harden? No,
James
Harden's
not my most improved player.
Tell me who.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Is averaging 26 a game.
Oh, yeah.
52% shooting from the field, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Yeah.
On 33 minutes.
That sure is. He's something different, huh?
Jaylen Brown, I'm going to go over his scoring right here. 21, 25, 26, 42, 33, 26, 24, 28, 18, 21.
Yeah, he's kind of good at basketball, I'd say. I'd say that dude's pretty dang good at basketball.
I think that Jaylen Brown, I mean, his career is only 14 points a game, and he's averaging almost 27.
For those of you just now listening, we are saying our award predictions now that it's about midseason, a little bit before midseason, but now that we have a good feel of how the season's going, we're making our award predictions for the year.
Yeah. He's also shooting 37% from the 3-point line.
Oh, this is also an NBA.
He's shooting 42% from the 3-point line.
This is also an NBA radio show, basketball show. I'm Braden Pittman. with me. Across from me is Gavin Miller, in case you couldn't tell. And you're listening to WBDG FM 821 Indianapolis.
That's my most improved player, though. Jaylen Brown went out of his mind.
What other awards are there?
You can do Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year. Oh, that's a tough one. Gavin, you're going to yell at me for this one. Doc Rivers. That noise you made.
I don't know about that.
You went, you growled.
I don't know about Doc Rivers. That guy's not cool.
Doc Rivers leading the 76ers to the... what's the Jazz coach's name?
I can look it up for you.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I don't know, honestly.
Jazz coach has been doing very good this year.
Once I see it, I'll know who it is, but...
I can taste it. It's right there.
Oh, wait. I didn't know that. I didn't know he signed there.
Who?
Luke Walton?
Luke Walton's on the Kings.
Oh, I thought you said Kings.
No.
Who'd you say?
Jazz.
I thought you said Kings. Oh, the Jazz?
Yeah.
Isn't it like Snyder?
Dan Snyder. Yeah,
Dan Snyder, yeah. I thought you said Kings for some reason.
Or is it Quinn Snyder? I think Dan Snyder's something else. I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Something Snyder.
Yeah. But, man, has he been good for the Jazz, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Which, I mean, he's been on that team forever, but...
Yeah. Definitely. I think it's Quinn Snyder. But I definitely do think that his coaching does help out the Jazz a lot. The Jazz, if you had told me the Jazz would be the first seed in the Western Conference at the beginning of the year, I would have not took you seriously. I would have not. I would have looked at you and been like, first seed? No. Fifth seed? Sure. Like, I may fifth or fourth. I would not have took you seriously if you would have said that they would have been the first seed in the Western Conference.
So Quinn Snyder is the coach for the Jazz. Dan Snyder is the owner of the Washington football team. That's where I was confused.
Hmm.
So, yes, it is. Quinn Snyder is the coach of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I'm going to have to give my coach of the year to...
Luke Walton of the Kings.
No way. I didn't even know he was on the Kings. I'm going to have to give it to Tyronn Lue.
Ooh.
The only reason I say that is because Tyronn Lue,
he's been turning this team around. He's been having them play solid minutes.
I feel like Tyronn Lue's rotations are 50 times better than Doc Rivers' rotations. I feel like also Tyronn Lue had a big chip on his shoulder coming into the Clippers and taking over that team. We all know Ty Lue for one, getting stepped over, and two, for coaching the Cavs. Tyronn Lue being the assistant coach and LeBron James being the head coach.
I will say this. I have held, much like you hold the disdain for Doc Rivers, I have held a absolute hatred deep in my soul for Tyronn Lue.
Why?
For years now, because he got to play on the same team as Michael Jordan on the Wizards, play on the same team as Kobe Bryant on the Lakers, and then coach LeBron James. And I think for someone as talentless as Tyronn Lue, you shouldn't deserve to play for all three of those players or be with all three of those players.
Man.
And I've just always held a deep anger. He also, his mouth is just always a little open. And it just, it always just, whenever I look at him on the sideline and you just see his mouth a little open, it just creeps me out a little. I don't know.
You just don't like Tyronn Lue, but
I mean, maybe he's a nice guy. Maybe he's a nice guy, but...
Tyronn Lue, in my opinion, though, came in, you know, he came with the Clippers taking over for Doc Rivers. He definitely had a chip on his shoulder and some big shoes to fill because, you know, Doc Rivers coached that team, unfortunately, for multiple years. But, and I think he came in. They're 16-4 right now, I believe. They are playing absolutely amazing and really... He's shown that he is a good coach from this also. You know, he's coaching the Cavs with LeBron. A lot of people were like, yeah, you can coach a team with LeBron. That doesn't make you a good coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People always say, you know, LeBron's the coach. But now that he's on this team, even though, he has Paul George, he has Kawhi, he's a pretty good supporting cast, I still feel like this shows that he is a good coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, yeah. Honorable mentions, Nate Bjorkstrand for the Pacers has been doing absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich has made the Spurs a playoff team again with a diminished roster from past years. Nick Nurse and Brad Stevens are always in the conversation. Frank Vogel's in the conversation. Doc Rivers, since he's top of the, he has the best record in the league or whatever. Anybody that's at the top of the league. Gavin's shaking his head no at me and giving me an angry glare from across the table. That's my, and then who is All-Star Game MVP?
Paul George.
All-Star Game MVP I'm going to give to Joel Embiid. And
to Paul George.
That award means nothing. Anyone could win it. let me just, DeMontis Sabonis, sure.
Paul George. I feel like Paul George in an All-Star Game never gets more than 10 points.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Tim Duncan even. Who cares?
Well, we have one more award.
And that is the Larry O'Brien Trophy, right?
The Rookie of the Year award.
Oh, Rookie of the Year.
Which goes to LaMelo, in my opinion, but...
Rookie of the Year. There's been...
That guy from the Kings. Like, I can't remember his name for some reason. The Kings guard.
Maxley? No, is he on the 76ers?
It starts with a T, right?
I don't keep up. It's like Tyrese Maxley or something. I haven't been keeping up with the rookies this year. Just because they all kind of... All the guys, listeners, viewers, all the rookies this year are kind of bad. None of the rookies are really good this year. I mean, LaMelo Ball didn't even start until like a couple days ago.
Yeah, no, Tyrese.
Maxwell, Maxley. L.
Burton. Oh. I know he had, I know it wasn't.
Show me the name, Tyrese. I know how to pronounce it.
There you go. H-A-I-L.
Halliburton or something.
Listen, that guy's playing really good.
Yeah,
on the but Kings. I would say LaMelo, Rookie of the Year.
Anthony Edwards, he's been averaging the most points.
I remember when Anthony Edwards first got drafted, which was a couple weeks ago, I feel like, maybe a month ago. But
I was upset.
He did not like Anthony Edwards, and now he's saying Anthony Edwards for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean...
How times have changed. It's just crazy.
Just because all the rookies have played so bad. Like, I recognize that they've been playing good, but also they haven't been, like... somebody was like, the top three rookies in this draft are all guaranteed Hall of Famers, which I guarantee that they just hadn't done any research at all or anything, because who in their right mind would make such an absurd claim? But this rookie class is pretty weak, you know?
I mean, I have LaMelo.
Yeah, I'll give it to Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman. I just don't like LaMelo Ball's dad.
I mean, LaMelo's averaging...
Feel free to come on the pod. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. LaMelo is averaging 13 points, 42% from the field, 6 assists, and 6 boards as a guard.
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, not bad at all, especially considering, you know, as a rookie, just ended up starting for the Hornets.
Yeah. Gordon Hayward's been playing all right, huh?
Yeah, and I also feel like LaMelo, this might sound pretty absurd, but I feel like the players, I feel like he's really a playmaker, and not saying he makes his teammates better, but I feel like he helps them.
Yeah.
Even though he's a rookie. I feel like he does.
He comes with some good passes every now and again. What are his turnover numbers? Let me see that assist-to-turnover ratio, because I feel like it's about to be nasty.
How many turnovers?
I feel like that's about to be dirty. LaMelo's been playing fine, you know? Like, I don't want to reward anybody with a Rookie of the Year for the play that he's been giving, because it just, like, it just feels so sloppy a lot of the time, a lot of his basketball. His jump shot isn't pretty, which... I was actually talking to Gavin about this last night. Lonzo Ball's jump shot's actually been looking like a real human jump shot, which I think is impressive. But yeah, I mean, LaMelo, like, he's good, you know?
His assist, he averages 6 assists a game, but he only gets, I'd say, he has 2.6 turnovers a game.
Oh, that's not bad,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, like, not bad.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like it's a lot more turnovers than I would want for my rookie, considering I feel like he doesn't have the ball in his hands 24-7.
All right, I'll buy into the LaMelo Ball hype. I'll watch some more Hornets games and formulate a real opinion on him. I just haven't liked what I've seen so far.
I don't know. LaMelo, I'm not saying he's an amazing player or anything, but I do think he's Rookie of the Year. That's my take. And who's going to win the NBA Finals this year?
Who's hoisting the Larry O'Brien?
Once again, the Clippers.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh, what did I say to you yesterday? I said the 76ers could make the finals this year.
Yes, Braden told me yesterday the 76ers could win the NBA Finals. I looked at him and asked him if he's being serious. He told me yes.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying that if it happened, it wouldn't be as shocking to me as last year's Miami team was. Which, Miami, 13th seed in the East. That's funny.
Strong hate for Miami.
That's so funny that Miami's just so bad. Jimmy Butler, a fan of the pod. But yeah, so there's a future. I mean, like, I never want to count LeBron out. Lakers are definitely up there. I think that Utah. Okay, Gavin, actually, what I'm going to do with you real quick is I'm going to play a game that I'm sure a lot of people have played. Contender or pretender? I'm going to name a team. You tell me if they're for real. And then at the end of this, we'll decide who's really going to the finals. Right. Indiana Pacers.
No.
Pretender?
Pretender, yeah.
What about the Utah Jazz?
Pretender.
Denver Nuggets?
Pretender.
Portland Trailblazers?
I wish they weren't a pretender, but they are.
Lakers?
Contenders.
Clippers.
Contenders.
Brooklyn.
Contenders.
76ers.
Realistically, right now they're contenders, but they will be pretenders by the time playoff comes around.
Celtics.
Contenders.
Okay, yeah. Who's the 4 seed in the East right now? Or who the 3 seed? It goes...
You forgot to say the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks. That's who I was missing. Bucks.
I'm not gonna lie. Look at the Bucks. And I say, hey, those guys can play basketball on that team.
Yeah.
But then, like, I also look and I'm like...
And then they play a good team.
And then I also look at them and I'm like, hey, I feel like a good defensive team won't have a problem stopping that team. Yeah. Kind of like the Heat did.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's look at the top teams in the East. Who's stopping...
I mean, hey, I'll say contender. Why not? I'll say contender. They have a good team.
This is the same prediction I've given 2 years in a row and 3 consecutive finals predictions in a row. Lakers, Bucks, Bucks in 7.
I don't know about that.
This is the year, baby.
I'm going to play the same game with you.
Okay.
Contender or pretender with you.
Yep.
We'll run down some teams in the West, teams in the East. Start with the West, just like you did. Lakers.
Contender.
Jazz.
Already with the hard one. Contender.
Confusing contender. All right. Clippers.
Contender.
Okay. Nuggets.
Contender.
Okay. Portland.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Not Portland yet?
Not yet.
Okay. The Spurs. I know they're the 8th seed right now. You had to say the Spurs.
Pretender.
Most unfortunate for the Spurs.
I will say Memphis Grizzly is a contender.
Grizzlies are a contender. Yeah. I'm going to run through a few more teams because I know like the Mavericks.
The West just have some. The Mavericks, pretenders.
Pretenders. Okay. So we'll move on to the East. The Bucks.
Contenders.
Okay. The Sixers.
See, like, you started to psych me out, and I want to say pretender now. Just, they're the 1 seed. Joel Embiid's so good. Ben Simmons is eh. The rest of the team's so good. Contender, but barely.
Contender.
Contender, but barely.
All right. Celtics.
Contenders.
Okay.
Actually.
Change of heart.
Actually. Because I just don't think that anybody... Because all the big men... we're talking about that there's still Giannis and Joel Embiid. Daniel Theis isn't stopping Giannis or Joel Embiid from getting into the paint. Their wing defense is good. They could shut down Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday effectively, but they'd have to let one of them go if they want to try to guard Giannis. Oh, that's a close one. They also have Marcus Smart, actually. Contender, but again, just barely.
Okay. Pacers.
The Pacers are contenders this year. Domantas Sabonis is going to average 40 in the playoffs. Caris LeVert will come back healthy. TJ Warren will come back, and you'll see me. Just catch me when we're the one seed.
All right.
Pacers are contenders.
Hawks.
Oh, that's actually... They're not pretenders. They're not pretenders, definitely, but they're also not contenders. I think they know what they are.
They're just there?
Yeah, I think that they're not trying to get a title.
But they want to make the playoffs.
But they're the five. They're going to be the 5 or 6 or 7 seed.
Okay.
They're not contenders or pretenders. They're their own
thing. They're just
thing.
The Hawks.
Yeah, they're the Hawks. Right.
Cavs.
Pretenders.
Hornets.
Contenders.
Contenders?
That's a joke.
Pretenders. I was going to say. All right. One more team in the West. I'm pretty sure we forgot. The Suns. No one said the Suns.
That's actually... No, Devin Booker's never made the playoffs. Pretenders.
Ooh, the Suns
Devin Booker,
are...
Come back to me when you won a series.
The Suns are pretenders. That's interesting. For me...
Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton can catch me when they've won a champ. Playoff series.
Realistically, they're not contenders. Realistically,
it's
they're
fun
not.
To think about.
But are they going to make it past their first round? Let's see. Right now, they're the 6th seed. If they were to play...
If it were to end today, they'd play the 3 seed.
They would play the Lakers.
And LeBron James would slaughter every single player on that team. A Chris Paul LeBron series with them playing point guard against each other sounds exhilarating. Doesn't that sound like something you'd love to watch as a 7-game series where Chris Paul has to guard LeBron? Mikal Bridges has been playing nice. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this I don't know. I mean, if they played the Lakers, they wouldn't win. If they played the Nuggets, though, like let's say the Nuggets stayed the 4th seed, and the Suns drop down and end up playing them.
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't say it. I just can't say that the Suns... I mean, like I just said, Devin Booker's never even been to the playoffs. Closest he went was when he won 8 straight in the bubble, and that still couldn't carry him.
If the Suns go... Or you might drop and go to the 5th, should I say. 5th seed. They would play the Nuggets.
That's a winnable series.
Yeah.
It's a hard one, but it's a winnable series.
Definitely do think it's a winnable series. I mean, like, and they definitely could.
Jazz blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. So did the Clippers. But that also means they were one game away from winning.
No, I don't think the Nuggets are as good as they were last year, in my opinion. I don't know. I feel like they're a good team.
I feel like Jamal Murray hasn't been playing. Is he injured or something?
No,
I watched 2 Nuggets games, I think. They just have not been playing that same playoff basketball that they did.
Jamal Murray's just not been. He's just like, he was really good. I feel like last in that bubble, maybe not in the bubble.
Saw of him, he was going insane.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, but before then, did you really ever talk about Jamal Murray?
I had a few times.
But I mean, like.
I mean, no, I haven't been like Jamal Murray's an all-star.
Yeah. When you saw the bubble, you were like, oh,
yeah. I was like, okay, Jamal Murray might be turning it up.
And now I feel like it's back to normal.
Yeah. If you're just now tuning in, we are, this is the Pick and Slip. I'm Braden Pittman here with Gavin Miller. And we are talking about the current playoff picture in the Western and Eastern Conference on our way to determine who we really think is going to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of the season. I just can't see the Nuggets.
He's averaging 19-4-4.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, but compared to what he was doing in the bubble...
He was dropping like consecutive 40
pieces. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, compared to what he was doing in the bubble, if you actually compare, if you like put the Clippers against this Nuggets team, I would honestly say like Clippers in 5.
What's his highest scoring game this year? Can you check that for me real quick?
Yeah.
But yeah, Jamal Murray, I feel like, in the bubble last year, like, he was also being a good defender, too. Like, he was just locking down everybody on all fronts. He was averaging, like, I want to say 6 or 7 assists. He was just playing out of his mind. Now it just does not feel like that, huh?
Pretty sure 30.
30? Yeah, that's not bubble Jamal Murray.
Shot 11 for 27.
Yeah, I'll just say Bucks Lakers, Bucks in 7. Giannis is going to collect that ring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that. I have Clippers.
Drew Holiday with the hardware.
MVPG will walk out and will walk into the playoffs with the regular season MVP trophy.
Who are they playing against? Who's making it in the East?
In the East?
Yeah. Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think that...
I want you to look me in the eyes right now and say Brooklyn versus Philadelphia. Brooklyn's going to pull that out.
The Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving, KD, James Harden, and soon to be Andre Drummond versus the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, tell me with a straight face.
Nets in 5.
Ooh, boy.
Assuming the Sixers can even get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
That is a take.
They can't even beat the Celtics, so it'll probably end up being Nets and Celtics that we're being on.
Man.
They can't. The Sixers cannot beat the Celtics. If the Celtics have a healthy roster with Jason Tatum and the Sixers have their healthy roster led by Joel Embiid, I'm taking the Sixers. I'm taking the Celtics.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. I don't think that I'm not buying into the Sixers hype. I'm not buying into the same team that does so insanely good every single year just to be eliminated in the second team. Round.
Ben Simmons shoots threes now.
they got Seth Curry. That guy can shoot threes. Yeah, they have a pretty good, bench. They're pretty deep. But First of all, their coach is Doc Rivers. Philly fans, you guys are yet to realize that what's going to happen is you guys are going to get in the playoffs. Everything's going to be going smoothly for however long it does, maybe a game.
And then Joel Embiid's going to play 11 minutes even though he's not injured.
What's going to happen is you guys are going to be going against the Celtics after you guys make it out the first round, most likely. And you guys will be going into the Celtics, who you guys will be facing in the second round of the playoffs. And what's going to happen is you're going to realize, oh, what is that? We're down by 2 or we're up by 2, whatever the case may be. It's crunch time. And what is that? Ben Simmons will be benched for the entire game. Joel Embiid will not play for the rest of the series. Oh, no. Why? Our coach does not want us to succeed. And then, yeah, that's exactly just like that same time. When Luka hit that game winner, why did we not put Kawhi or Paul George on him? I may never know. Oh, why we had Reggie Jackson on Luka Doncic? I don't know. I don't know why.
Okay, what about
our players don't play?
What about Milwaukee and Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Brooklyn,
really?
I have Brooklyn. I said this at the very.
How are
beginning.
They going to guard Giannis?
They don't need to guard Giannis.
How are they going to guard Chris Middleton?
They already beat the Bucks.
How are they going to guard Dante DiVincenzo?
They don't need to guard anyone.
How are they going to guard Lopez?
No one can guard them.
But their team's so defensively good.
And the Nets have arguably the greatest offensive rating. The Nets have the best offensive rating in NBA history.
I saw a statistic that said since the James Harden trade, the Brooklyn Nets have had the highest offensive rating in NBA history. And the worst defensive rating in offensive history. Which, I mean, shouldn't that mean that if they play an average team that the score would be tied?
But...
If they play an average team.
In the regular season, that's how it goes. But we're talking about playoff KD, playoff Kyrie.
Oh, you know how playoff KD is so well known for stopping Giannis.
Hey, all that matters is that playoff Kyrie, playoff KD, I don't care. And they'll have Andre Drummond at this point. They'll get rebounds.
But unfortunately, they will have to deal with playoff James Harden.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only downside. But maybe if he's playing with, playoff KD.
Maybe you trade James Harden at the deadline.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's all that I have to say for today.
Oh, yeah. That's really all I have to say. There's not too much. It's going to be...
Gavin, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, well, it's going to be Clippers winning the finals. It's going to be Clippers-Nets.
Clippers-Nets.
6.
Man.
Yeah.
What a crazy take.
That's my take. But yeah, that's all I have to say. Thank you, Braden, so much for being on the show, as always.
Seeing those five on the court would be crazy. KD, yeah. Kyrie, James Harden,
Kawhi, PG.
Kawhi and PG. That'd yeah. be nice to see, actually.
But
thank you for having me, Gavin.
No problem. That's all I have to say. Thank you guys so much for listening. This will be up on Audio Boom for a podcast at WBDG Indy. Make sure you guys go check that out. And any other episodes that you may have missed, I'm Gavin. That's Braden. Thank you guys so much for listening. Peace. Yeah, to the beach, y'all.